Thank you for listening to this Podcast One Sportsnet production, available on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One.
The following program is a PodcastOne.com production.
He started in a small town in Texas. Worked his ass off to become one of the most famous wrestlers of all time.
We're going to take care of business tonight, and that's the bottom line.
And now, he's dominating the world of on-demand audio.
And he's doing it for the working man.
This is a damn good outlet for me to spew the bullshit off my brain.
Yeah!
This is the Steve Austin Show. Unleashed.
All right, everybody, welcome to Steve Austin Joe. I'm coming to you from the main streets of Los Angeles, California today. I'm sitting here in my office at 316 Gimmick Street. It's Wednesday afternoon, 4:15 p.m. We just got finished feeding the dogs. My wife is out there talking to the yard guy. The yard guy has already fucked up my podcast three different occasions. I thought I was going to outsmart him when I let him mow the front yard and head to the backyard. And then he sideswiped me when he came down the alley and turned his blower on. And I had to push the stop button on the goddamn gimmick recorder here. So nonetheless, I'll tell you what. Today, C.T. Fletcher returns to the podcast. My old buddy. I went down to Iron Addicts Gym in the LBC, Long Beach, and we shot the shit about all kinds of stuff. The movie's about to start filming with Bill Goldberg, some of his Corvettes, and y'all still gonna hear about CT's 10 Commandments of Muscle Growth. And when CT tells you to grow, you grow. He's dropping a lot of knowledge today and also a lot of laughs. We're cutting promos on each other and talking shit, and we're also talking wrestling, too. So we're going to have some fun with my man, C.T. Fletcher. Man, I tell you what, Jesus H. Christ on a popsicle stick. I've been trying to get this podcast done for the last 45 minutes. That yard guy got me all sideswiped over here. Discombobulated, cattywampus, flabbergasted, bamboozled, and hoodwinked. I don't know which way he's coming or going. Goddamn, but he's mowing and blowing, and that's what I pay him to do. So what the fuck? I guess, you know, I knew it was coming. I knew it was Wednesday. Shit. Well, fuck Wednesday. Let's talk about Tuesday. I woke up the other day, and I knew it was my doctor's appointment, finally, for my second post-op visit for my rotator cuff and my bicep reattachment. This was hopefully going to be a step in the right direction so he can give me clearance to go to the next level of rehabilitation on my shoulder. Because this damn arm of mine, his right arm, is flat as a pancake, man. My arm, it ain't been this damn small in a long-ass time. Ain't got no pump to it, ain't got shit. So I need to be able to do some kind of light weightlifting before we start rolling cameras on the Broken Skull Challenge here in about 25 days. Shit. I'm going to be out of shape and have some sorry-ass jacks to go along with. The competitor's going to be blowing my ass out of the water. Anyway, I didn't know what time my appointment was, so I called the place where I do my rehab, and the girl that I normally talk to and the girl that booked my appointment wasn't there. And I said, man, I can't remember if my appointment's at 2:45 or what. And she says, the other lady on the phone, she says, well, I can look and find out. And she says, it's at 11 a.m. Well, shit, when she said that, it was 10:40 a.m. I said, okay, shit. I said, I got to go. I don't want to be late. So I jumped in the shower, got dressed, got in my car, and hauled ass over there. I walked into the doctor's office at 11 a.m. appointment. I walked in at 11:01. Now, technically, that's late. But in that office over there, for the most part, on a good day, you go wait about an hour to get in behind your scheduled time just because they're so damn busy and they're doing the best they can and they're just badass doctors. So, and there's a lot of people up in there. So anyway, I show up and I said, man, I said, the lady said, okay, you're next. I said, okay. I said, Steve Austin, I'm here to see Dr. Ella Trash. And I said, I couldn't remember when my appointment was. The lady told me it was 11. And she goes, Steve, your appointment's not till 3 p.m. And I'm thinking to myself, well, goddamn, what the fuck am I going to do now? I can come back at 3. And she goes, well, if you want to, just sit down and we'll try to work in. So I said, well, you know, I could drive home because it wasn't, but, you know, shit, literally 8 minutes to the doctor's office. So I said, well, what the fuck? I'll just sit down and let him work. I'll just sit down and let him work me in. Man, I sat there for 2.5 hours. God damn, I was talking to some people that had knee injuries and shoulder injuries and all kinds of shit. Finally, I get in there. Fuck, I think I got in at about 2:15, damn near my original appointment time. Sitting there on a goddamn chair like Forrest Bench on that goddamn movie, Forrest Gump. You know, life is like a bunch of chocolates. Well, fuck a bunch of chocolates. I was fucking, didn't know what time my appointment was. I get there, try to get worked in, shit. I should have took my dumb ass home, done the opening of this show, and then headed back to the doctor's office. Shit, I could have got the show to Stacy a little bit faster. Son of a bitch. Anyway, I go in to see the doctor. He's awesome. Dr. Neil Ellitrash. Man, that son of a bitch does some good work. So, went in there, and, you know, he's got his sidekick with him, the associate doctor, whatever they call him. You know, the guy he's kind of mentoring. I don't know what they call it in the medical field. Shadowing, whatever. So, puts me through a couple of different range of motion exercises. I move my arms for him. He likes what he sees, and he clears me on to the next level of rehabilitation. So, that's the good news. I can start doing light tricep pushdowns, and I can start doing some light bicep curls. And I tell you what, I mean, I'm not going to be able to just jump on a bunch of heavy-ass weights. I'm going to have to work my way up to it. And I told him, I said, Doc, man, just because it's been so long and my shoulder's kind of feeling solid, I'm already doing some dumbbell presses with 10 pounds. And he said, well, I wouldn't have recommended that, but since you're doing it, I guess you can go ahead and keep doing it. And then he gave me a couple of exercises to do in my swimming pool, range of motion stuff where I move my arms back and forth with my hands spread to begin with for less friction. And then as I get better at it and my shoulder gets more solid, put my fingers together so I have more traction, because the harder you push, the harder, the effort is on the shoulder. So he gave me a couple of gimmick exercises to do, and so I'm doing that, and I'm trying to make a comeback, get ready to go film the Broken Skull Challenge, the toughest goddamn show on TV. Man, I tell you what, this show is going to debut on November 14th on Country Music Television, CMT. This is the baddest, toughest fucking competition show on television, bar none. And man, these guys are just, they're going to be out to crush it. And you talk about fun. We're going to lay it all on the line this year, Mr. and Mrs. We're going to kick ass this year, just like we have in the last few years. Fire up that Dodge Ram Charger, get out the Kawasaki Mule, and fuck, say hell yeah, let's get it on. Three rounds of competition. Eight people show up, seven people leave, one person stays to take on the motherfucking Skull Buster, the baddest obstacle course in the United States of America. You goddamn right. I'm looking forward to getting out there filming that damn show. Out there in the middle of nowhere, Agua Dulce, California, on a mountain, in the desert, hot-ass sun, beating our asses. Every now and then a gust of wind coming through. I'm going to have three levels of 50-block sunblock to save my albino ass from the sunlight. Shit, it can't happen fast enough. Hey, before we get to C.T. Fletcher, I got to give a big ups to a longtime sponsor of the Steve Austin Show, my man Diamond Dallas Page and DDP Yoga. Dallas and his crew are the ones who put together the Resurrection of Jake the Snake documentary, and this is one badass documentary. But you ain't got to take my word for it. Just look how well it's doing on Netflix. Right now, as I speak, the Resurrection of Jake the Snake is the sixth highest rated documentary of all time on Netflix. Congrats. People are loving the documentary, and not just wrestling fans. So check it out on Netflix. Be sure to give it a rating after you watch it so you can help them out. You can also get the documentary on Blu-ray and DVD now. And the collector's edition comes with 20 bonus features, including a commentary track narrated by Dallas, Jake, and director Steve Yu. So just go to ddpyoga.com/Austin to get the Resurrection of Jake the Snake collector's edition DVD or Blu-ray, along with your copy of the DDP Yoga program. And if you do it now, you will save 20% off your order. DDP is giving you guys a once-in-a-lifetime deal right now. You heard me right. You will get 20% off anything you buy at ddpyoga.com/Austin. Don't miss your chance to try DDP's life-changing DDP Yoga program. Folks, it's more than just a damn workout. This is a way to live a healthier life. The proof is in all the results that Dallas has gotten, all of his clients. DDP is going to give you everything you need and then some, and all you got to do is commit. So get the Resurrection of Jake the Snake documentary. Get yourself on the DDP yoga program and do all that for 20% off by going to ddpyoga.com/Austin. That is ddpyoga.com/Austin and get 20% off anything you buy for a limited time.
Steve Austin. Steve Austin. Unleashed. Unleashed.
Well, I'm coming over to Iron Addicts and put my foot knee deep off in your ass. I said, damn. I thought Stone Cold.
Well, goddamn, you won't ever answer your phone. That's a shit. And this, I know the one and only C.T. Fletcher not scared of my white ass. Well, shit, I'm already rolling sound because with an interest like that, well, I'm talking with C.T. Fletcher. I'm an Iron Addicts gym in the LBC, Long Beach. If you don't live in Los Angeles, C.T., you look like $1 million. How you feeling?
About 50 cents. I got an old car. I just shine that motherfucker up sometime and try to make this turd look polished. But other than that, you know how it is. When you get past, well, you might not know how it is.
Tell me how it is, because I always ask when I pass up some of the boys that have been in the business longer than me, because they put their body through the same shit I did, just, you know, falling down on a mat, traveling down the road, all that bullshit. But you've been clanging all these damn weights for all these years. You 56?
57.
57.
Yes, sir.
57 Chevy's a badass son of a bitch.
Yeah, it is.
But let's talk about you. How you feeling? How's your joints and shit? Because you lost weight since the last time I seen you. You look terrific.
I have. I got this movie thing coming out with your boy.
Now, which one of my boys you talking about?
Goldberg.
Bill Goldberg.
Be starring in Bauer, and I understand that Goldberg and myself is going to have a fight scene, and I can't be looking all fat and sloppy because they're going to definitely be talking shit. So I got to look in some kind of shape, so that's what I'm trying to do. It's just trying to make the over 50 crowd not look so goddamn bad.
So let me ask you something. All of a sudden, somebody throws you a script. And so whatever your character's name is going to be in the movie, I don't want any spoilers out there, but they give you a script. Can somebody write lines and words for the one and only C.T. Fletcher, who has gained worldwide notoriety over the wisdom and 411 and all the bullshit that you got on your Twitter? I mean, that you have on your YouTube account?
Yeah, well, Stone Cold, what they did, I talked to the producer, I talked to Bill, and they both said, we're going to give you these lines, but we want you to C.T. Fletcherize them. So they give it to me. They give it to me, but I can say it, you know, my way. So I think we'll have a pretty good time that way.
Okay, let me ask you a question. Is this movie going to be a PG movie or R movie? Because that's going to dictate how you're able to make those lines C.T. Fletcher friendly.
Well, it may start out PG, but I guarantee goddamn to you, as Stone Cold would say, I guarantee goddamn to you, by the end of the movie, that motherfucker have an R, might even have an X on it. Who knows?
Now, you didn't call Bill up. Now, what's this thing about? Is it about Bauer? Is he a cop or somebody, or a detective?
All I think I'm at liberty to say is that Bill is a badass and going to be fucking up a shitload of extras, including my fucking self, in this movie.
Well, my question was, since Bill asked you to be in the movie, I want to make sure I'm cool with the crowd here. You didn't say, hey, well, okay, Bill, I'll do it, but you got to write me in a sex scene.
No.
Hey, let's call it a love scene.
Yeah.
Because all of a sudden, now you're a movie star. Is this going to be the first movie you've been in?
No. I had about five real low-budget movies.
Dude, I've done my share of low-budget movies. How low you talking? I've done my share of those. So you've been in a few.
I've been in a few super low-budget movies. You know, hardcore people, the followers, Iron Addict followers have seen them. And when they see them, they post them. And, you know, but I mean, I think we made the movie for about $500.
That is low-budget.
Yeah.
Let me ask yourself, when I started doing some low-budget movies, I thought, hey, man, I got to be this character. Shit, I thought I was Daniel Day-Lewis, you know, like trying to really be somebody else, and I'm not. But, you know, after I step back, and I don't really care to do any movies anymore just because I don't like memorizing shit.
Yeah.
And so, but my point is, I thought I had to be some character. When I look back, All motherfuckers wanted to see was me just basically being stone cold and fucking shit up. So did you try to go all Je ne sais quoi and Daniel Day-Lewis and make a character, or were you just CT?
Well, for the brief few moments that I was in the Batman Unlimited Director's Cut edition, I didn't make the theatrical edition. I made the shit you buy on DVD. I was myself. And I actually had a couple of lines. I was so much myself, I had a couple of lines, and they cut them motherfuckers out. Because I was too much myself, Stone Cold. They said, all right, CT, we want you to ask the guy if he has any gum. That was my only line, just ask him if he has any gum. But we want you to say it like CT Fletcher would say it. So I walked up to the guy, and I said, say, motherfucker, you got any gum? And that shit, for some reason, didn't make the goddamn theatrical cut. They cut me out, put me on the fucking cutting room floor. So I was a little hurt, but I did make the goddamn DVDs, and people, hey, CT, we seen you, and that was pretty cool.
Well, man, where are you guys going to film this movie at? Because I was just spending some time. I spent some time over at Goldberg's compound. I went over there. I wouldn't plan on spending a night because I just wanted to get out of man's hair. But then we started drinking beer, and one thing led to another, so there I was.
Yeah.
And so he was telling me a little bit about the movie. Are y'all going to film that motherfucker in Georgia or here in Cali?
I heard Louisiana.
Oh, okay. I just knew. Yeah. I thought potentially it could be somewhere in the South, so it's Louisiana.
Yeah.
So here's my thing. How long are you going to be on location? Are you in this whole motherfucker,
no,
or are you going to come down for a couple of days?
I have they told me I'm going to be there for a week.
Okay.
So they can shoot my shit in a week. It won't take long for Goldberg to fuck me up. And I can be on my way back home and do something else.
Yeah. So tell me, how was the pitch when Goldberg said, hey, CT, I got this movie. I got this thing that you'd be perfect for. What was the whole song and dance?
It was so fucking simple. It was like a conversation with me and you. Hey, CT, I'm coming down to your gym to do a goddamn podcast. Let me know what time, Stone Cold, and my ass will be there. I said, hey, Bill, let me know when and where, and my ass will be there. Just like that. For me, 3 years ago, 3.5 years ago, nobody knew who the fuck I was, unless they was a hardcore powerlifter. So for Stone Cold Steve Austin, Bill Goldberg, to call me up on the fucking phone just 3 years later, that, for me, that's a fucking, it's like unbelievable. That's like living a fucking dream, man. I told you I was wanting to be a professional wrestler. I told you that, right?
Damn, I can't remember. I've been hitting so many steel chairs. I just remember I was here.
Yeah.
Did you go through any training?
I sure did. I trained at Seaside Gym in downtown Long Beach.
Who was training you?
Oh, man. An ex-wrestler, and he was Lord something or Baron something. I don't remember, but the motherfucker had a cartoon face. I remember that much.
So what happened?
Well, I loved it. See, even I thought that I would be a real good fit because I think that, everybody in there is big, strong, agility and all that stuff. But the promo, I thought the promo is where I would excel. And therefore, I thought I'd be very good at it. And so did, the guys that were teaching me. I had a ball. I was slamming motherfuckers. I was young. I had slamming motherfuckers left and right.
But even back then, when you were just going through the physical training in the ring, you were already thinking about promos.
Oh, yeah.
Have you always had a way with words?
Well, I always thought I had a way with words. I always thought I could. I'm a pretty good shit talker. And I thought the best wrestlers had the combination of being like yourself. Not only could you whoop ass, but you could talk some good shit, boy. Stone Cold's one of the best shit talkers on the planet. The Rock is up there as one of the best shit talkers. So the popularity, they had all the moves. But there's some guys that can wrestle their ass off. But you stick the mic in front of their face, and it's fucking nothing. You get nothing.
Man, you got to be able to do the thing in the ring, but you got to make people care about you.
Definitely.
Whether you want them to love you or you want them to hate you, you got to move the needle on the emotional fucking tachometer.
Right.
So with all the YouTube videos that you've put out, millions of downloads, and I go back and I was watching some of those old powerlifting videos, and you was just quiet CT, scientific CT, powerlifting, and then so –
how did you spin up to where you are now? I know who it's who you are. It's organic to you, but you weren't that back then, or were you? You were just being straight up in those old videos. Those old, you know, those, yeah, those videos I'm talking about.
Oh, I definitely know. And Steve, I was doing a promo the way I was asked to do a promo.
Okay.
I have never changed. Anybody have known me for all these years, and they know that I've been the same for, you know, my whole life. I haven't changed, but I had to be clean.
I got you.
Yeah.
So that was straight up informational, and maybe there was a product attached to it. So yeah, you just couldn't be the CT that I
know. No, they told me anything. I slipped and said fuck, and they was no, you can't do that, man. So no, there was none of that. They wouldn't have it, none of that.
Hey, so you're talking about Goldberg? I just got it because I was over his place. I thought you guys are old time or long time friends. How did you guys ever meet?
Well, he called me up one day, you know, and asked me to be on his podcast. And I was fucking stunned and amazed. I'm like, same way when you called me. I was like, what the fuck? And I think Mark Bell set us up, though. I knew Mark Bell, and he knew you. And,
yeah.
And so I had a little foot in the door. When I knowing Mark Bell, he set that up. But
so did he come down here to Iron Addicts? You go up there to
I went to Goldberg. I went up there.
Yeah,
I went up there. He's been here though. He came for the grand opening and stuff like that. But for the podcast, I went.
Did he train with you?
No,
dude. I was going to train with you, but I got this bad wing. So each time I come, it's my second time here. I gotta pass.
Hey.
One of these days, I got to bring my sorry, crippled ass over here in shape enough to train with the legendary C.T. Fletcher.
Oh,
so you can drop a bunch of four-letter bombs on me to motivate my fat ass to get in fucking shape.
Oh, my God.
Can you handle that, or are you going to puss out on me?
Won't that? Ooh, wait a minute.
Yeah, I just called him out there rolling video camera over here. Called the man out in his own gym.
No, wait a minute now, Stone Cold.
Please return fire. I know you got something back for me.
Oh, Stone Cold. Yes, sir, I sure do. I'm tickled now. Let me get Stone Cold called me a motherfucking pussy in my own motherfucking gym. Stone Cold called me a bald head pussy in my own gym. Ain't that something? That's what kind of hospitality is that?
God
damn
it.
Stone Cold, I tell you what, before you leave here today, I want you to do me a favor.
Yeah.
All right. Now, he told me, Stone Cold told me he's going to whoop my ass and shit if I didn't do the interview. So, you see, I did the motherfucker. All right? He punked me and shit. Then just called me a pussy in my own gym. All right. Stone Cold Steve Austin, I'm laying down a challenge. I want to do a promo, unfucking edited, raw, no holds barred promo with Steve Austin. You heard it. I'm challenging you to a fucking wrestling promo. Your shit. You come in my gym. Tell me all about my shit. I'm going to go in your world, challenge you to a fucking promo. The best promo man in the business, Steve Austin, the Rattlesnake, Stone Cold Steve Austin, versus the fucking Superman from Compton. This Saturday night, Madison Square Garden, WrestleMania. Be there, motherfucker.
You know they got WrestleMania 33 coming up. It's going to be down in Orlando, Florida. What about you and me?
Oh,
No, fuck that. Fuck you and me. You and me got to be on the same side. Shit.
Oh.
We're representing Los Angeles. You by way of the LBC, me and the NDR, we're going to be a fucking tag team. Now, the question is, can the WWF find some motherfuckers that are tough enough or can promo with us to make a goddamn match that the people will be interested in? Because I know I can bring my shit. I know you can bring your shit. But now you got to look at it. Got the brand split going on. Got the SmackDown Live. You got Raw Live. And they said they got a motherfucking deep roster. Do they have two motherfuckers that are bad enough to take on C.T. Fletcher, Superman of Compton, and Stone Cold Steve Austin, a motherfucking Texas Rattlesnake, inside a steel motherfucking cage? Do you think they possess somebody of that caliber?
Obviously, the answer is a strong hell no. You can't find nobody to fuck with us. But I double goddamn dare you to try, motherfucker. Vince McMahon, reach off in your fucking pocketbook and try to pull out a couple of motherfuckers to take me and Stone Cold off. You can't do that. You ain't got enough money to buy a motherfucker to take us on. Anytime, any place, the Rattlesnake and the Superman just kicking fucking asses left and right. God damn.
All I can say to that is amen. Hey, now here's the thing, CT. When I called you a pussy a while ago, I did that with all due respect. I didn't even want to come in here and motherfuck you. I called you a pussy out of respect. So there's a difference, because if you call a motherfucker a pussy, or like the other day I called CT, just straight up, to tell him the truth, I said, big bald-headed motherfucker. Yeah. but I called you. I couldn't just see it's different. You walk in here, you call someone a pussy, and just fucking around with it. Or you can do it and be serious with it, and motherfucker get mad, and everybody starts throwing down. I'm just fucking around. Hey, check it out. I got to take a minute to say thanks to everyone for supporting the great sponsors of this podcast, including True Car. If you're looking to buy a new or a used car, then you need to check out TrueCar.com and the True Car app. I bet you didn't know that you can use True Car to help you buy a used car, too. It ain't just for new car purchases. There are over 500,000 pre-owned vehicles available from TrueCar certified dealers nationwide, and there are over 11,000 TrueCar certified dealers. And TrueCar lets you get upfront pricing information on new and used vehicles and lets you see what other people paid for the car you want so that you feel confident you are getting a fair price. With TrueCar, via their TrueCar pricing curve, you see what other people paid for the car and you lock in your guaranteed savings. Then you can connect with a local certified dealer of your choosing, take them your TrueCar Guaranteed Savings Certificate, and make your car buying experience quick and easy. Over 2 million cars have been sold to TrueCar users by the TrueCar Certified Dealer Network, and TrueCar users save an average of over $3,000 off MSRP. So when you're ready to buy a new or used car, visit TrueCar.com or download the TrueCar app to enjoy a better car buying experience. Some features not available in all states. Hey, check it out. I want to talk a little about cars.
Oh, man, my favorite fucking subject, almost.
What's your favorite? We'll save that for another time?
Yes.
Okay, I'm with you.
Yes.
I'll tell you about my three favorite smells. Let's talk a little bit about automobiles, because I took some pictures of automobiles out there in the parking lot, and I'm wondering if all these illustrious cars are yours.
I'm sure that 90% of them are. See, that's why I ain't got no damn money. I spend it all on cars.
Okay, now tell me about this. You got a black Corvette, and is that a candy apple red Corvette?
Yes.
Man, that's candy apple like a motherfucker. That thing is beautiful. The black one, is that a 71?
It is. Very good.
And the burgundy is a 56?
The burgundy.
I mean, candy apple red.
62. The best.
62. Yeah. I'm wrong on that one. I got one of them right. Dude, tell me about the 71 Vet. What's the motor?
It's a 426 tri-carb.
Not a 426, not 7?
You know I'm fucked up. See, guy.
Damn, look at this motherfucker. Now I'm going to call him a pussy, and now I got to correct him on what motor he got in his car.
And correct me on my shit. A 427 tri-carb. You're exactly right. Steve motherfucking Austin.
Hey, where'd you find this car at?
I bought that from a guy in Texas. And he owned it for over 35 years. He bought it brand new, and then he put the Mako kit on it. He babied it his whole life. And, man, when I seen it, I just fucking had to have it, man. I had to have it.
So how long you had it?
Oh, man, I only had it, 3 years, man? That's all?
You drive it much?
No. I don't drive none of them much.
Why, just because you don't want nobody to open up and go crash into them or hit it with a door or what?
I drive them, you know, when I'm in town. But my greatest pleasure, I get the greatest pleasure from them for walking out in the parking lot and just being able to say, this is my shit. I have been so broke that I fucking, everywhere I went, I had to fucking walk. So when I said I get 2 nickels, I'm going to buy me a goddamn car. And then, you know, I got a couple nickels, and I just went crazy. And now I got a parking lot full of them motherfuckers.
So you got some badass cars out there. But if you was had to name your dream car, maybe something that you don't have right now, your ultimate muscle car, whatever it would be, what would that one car be? Or can you think of it?
Oh, I definitely know. My all-time favorite car would be a Mercedes-Benz Uhlenhaut Coupe. And I bet you don't know what the fuck that is, do you still?
I don't know what the fuck that means. What does it mean, CT?
Okay, you know, everybody knows the Gold Wing.
Yeah.
Okay, well, they made a couple, just a couple, two of them, prototypes that were called Uhlenhaus. And they were made for racing, and at the time they made it, was the fastest car in the world. They only made two of them motherfuckers, so I ain't no way I'm going to ever get one. But it is, hands down, my favorite car of all time.
Now, when I go to Goldberg's house, man, that guy's a numbers freak. You know, option numbers. Same with John Cena. He's a car buff. He knows his numbers. Are you like that? You know all the options and the technicalities? Well, obviously you don't know because you had a 426 Chrysler motor in your Chevy. Yeah, no, are you a numbers guy? You picky like that?
No, my fucking vet got a 426 Hemi in his. No, you
is a custom motherfucker.
You got me, man. You got me. No, I know, I'm not the expert that Goldberg is, and probably not seen. I never met Johnson, so I don't know. But I am a fucking car nut, man. You know, man. I remember being a kid, and my dad bought a '69 Dodge Charger, and that motherfucking car. I think that's when it started. I was 10 years old. Really, I liked, you know, cars before then. I can remember, you know, as a kid, every Christmas I want a fucking car. That was my toy. But when he bought that '69 Dodge Charger, that really just, I mean, I fell in love with, I mean, the dashboard. I fucking studied everything, the fucking smell of the car, every fucking thing. I love it all, man. Been a muscle car freak ever since.
One last question about cars. I want to get to your thing, one of these articles I read about you on the computer. Is that a 70 Chevelle?
Yes, it is.
396, same motor?
It's a 396, exactly.
How long you had that?
Year. 2 years. You should ask my daughter how long.
Well, just come over. CT, hand her the microphone. You want to sell that to a brother?
Oh, man. Not right now.
I went over to CT. I went over to Goldberg's house, and you've seen all them cars he got over there.
Yep.
And I went over and I lowballed him on every one over there just to fuck with him.
Yeah.
It was kind of a joke, so I'm fucking with you. Hey, I got on to shifting gears. Let's talk a little bit about lifting weights because you got your gym here. I saw this article, and we talked last time I was here. One of the things I do remember was about, and I watched an old video of you training with Michael Hearn, and he came over to do your workout.
Yes,
because
sure,
you know, Mike likes to hit a body part once a week. He just hits it heavy, low reps, and he'll take his time. He's a strong motherfucker.
Oh, my God.
But he came over here, and y'all did some penitentiary-style arm training.
Oh, my God, yes.
And you swolled him up.
Oh, I was feeling good that day. So I don't have, you know, some days, like today, for instance, the old arthritis and stuff get the best of the old man, and I can barely move around. But when I have my good days, I invite all them youngsters to come on over and try the old man out.
Okay, well, since you're so old, I don't know if you remember this article, but you had C.T. Fletcher's 10 Commandments of Muscle Growth. One of them was train your mind harder than your body. Explain that.
Oh, my God. I'm glad you asked me that for two reasons. The Rock has this thing out now where he wants people to send in videos to possibly lead on his baller show. Nice show. I like the show. And he said, people send in your videos, and if you like it, we're going to use it as, you know, the lead on the show, to open the fucking show up with. The people ask, CT, you going to do it? You going to do it? You going to shoot it? And I said, no, I don't want to do it that way, goddammit. I know Stone Cold Steve Austin. And I fucking know Bill Goldberg. Sooner or later, I'll get the Rock's ass over here, too. I don't want to have to. But if I was to make a video leading to what you just asked me about, it would be about the mind. Opening. If I shot the video, the mind would be the opening thing. Is what makes a mortal immortal? What makes a man into a superman? What does it take to separate the chump from the champion? What is it? Is it speed, agility, all of those things, as you know, will fail. They gonna fail you. Sooner or later, you gonna get old, you gonna get tired, they will fail. All this physical shit will fail. At one time, Stone Cold's the baddest motherfucker except inside the square circle. But I bet you can't do everything you used to do. I can't do everything I used to do. But I'll tell you what, goddammit. Stone Cold Steve Austin, CT, you ain't gonna match our fucking will. My fucking will is strong as when I was 19 years old. I'm just as strong in fucking will as ever. You will not fucking outwill me. You might out everything else me, but goddamn it, will is what separates the goddamn chump from the champion, the goddamn second place contender to the motherfucking top podium. It's the fucking will of the athlete that separates you. That's what I meant by that, Stone.
I dig it. Let's talk about number two, because this is interesting. I know you can expound upon this as well. You say never accept someone else's limitations.
Oh, man. So many motherfuckers, I know you heard this, Steve. So many motherfuckers will tell you what you can't do. Oh, no, that's just impossible. You can't do that. You got an injury. Oh, Steve, you'll never be back from that. You can't get back from, no way you can come back from that. It's just too debilitating. You done. Hang your trunks up. Shit. They don't fucking know you. No, you don't know. You can't tell me what the fuck I can't do. The only way, it's going to take me to tell me that shit. I don't give a fuck what nobody else say. You can't tell me what the fuck. You can't tell Stone Cold Steve Austin he can't do something. You crazy?
I dig it. Talk about this. Pain is essential. Because I know you just can't lollygag up in the gym, go 10 reps like it ain't nobody's business, nothing hurt, put the motherfucker down, and expect to get anything out of it. So pain is essential. Please expand.
It is essential. Any fucking birth, a woman having a baby is painful. But look what she get. Look at her reward for going through that pain. At anything. With great reward, you have to suffer. You have to suffer. You got to go through some pain to get it. If you don't go through no pain, first of all, it ain't worth it. And if you take your punk ass in the gym, you spend an hour and a half in there, and you ain't hurting, your ass ain't done shit. You probably was in there on your fucking cell phone for an hour and a half and thought you worked out.
Before I go to the next one, you just touched upon a big thing. Everybody is on their cell phone these days doing all kinds of shit. I was just talking to Gabriel Iglesias, and every time I see someone riding down the road, if the other dude, if it's a girl or a guy riding the shotgun seat, they're on the phone. And they're trying to cross the street, they look for the pedestrian light, and they don't even look both ways. They just cross the road, they don't give a shit.
Yep.
So when I see all these people in the damn gym, if I'm on my phone, it's because I'm in between my set and I'm pushing the button to the next song or whatever I'm doing. I ain't fiddle fucking around playing Pokemon Go and none of that other stupid shit. I'm trying to get my business taken care of in the gym. But I see these people and they're either reading a magazine or they're just trying to, or they're on the phone texting someone, or they're talking to the personal trainers. And they're just having a conversation. I'm like, if you ain't going to be in a goddamn gym to either fucking put up a hell of a sweat or go through the pain, what you talking about, all the pain you've suffered, you've gone through to push yourself to the powerlifting records that you set to be able to achieve the notoriety that you've been through. It all sounds good. Maybe that's your form of therapy. If you want to go talk to a motherfucker and pay him $100 an hour to train your ass, it might as well be a shrink.
Yep.
But I don't understand people with mindset to do that because you ain't getting shit done but wasting an hour of your life.
Yep. Oh, my God. Well, we exactly see eye to fucking eye on that one. It's just, as a broke-ass personal trainer now, not a guy that was doing well. When I was a broke-ass personal trainer, I first started out, I didn't have a 2-3 client because they come to me and train once and I wouldn't see them no motherfucking more just because of that. I say, hey, look, if you don't want to train, stay your punk ass at home. You're wasting my time and your time. Hey, yeah. Take your motherfucking $50 back, motherfucker. I don't need it that bad. I'd rather fucking go hungry. And send their ass on back home. They'd come there, oh, man, and start complaining before we even started.
Yeah, but I see it all the time. And yep. More power to them, but then, on the end of the personal trainer, I'm thinking, man, you got to hold yourself to a higher level than that. Yeah. But again, it ain't my racket to tell somebody what game they are. But number four, you say listen to your body. Yep. How so do you mean listen to your body?
Okay. People say, hey, CT, I'm doing the same fucking thing. I'm doing the same fucking thing. Same thing you told me. I'm doing the same exercise I see in the magazines. And ain't shit happening. Not ain't shit happening. I don't see a fucking difference. What they are doing is mechanically going through the fucking motions. I mean, the Arnold and all the greats back in the day, they would always visualize in their mind how they wanted that body part that they were training to look. If I want motherfucking mountain peak biceps, I'm gonna visualize a fucking mountain peak when I'm doing my curls. If I want fucking quadzillas like Tom Platt's fucking ridiculous ass cartoonish legs, and that's what I'm gonna visualize. They only go through the mechanics. They're going there and do the same fucking thing over and expect a different result. Ain't gonna happen.
But in listening to your body, and you got visualized the body you want, but in listening to your body, I mean,
yeah.
as strong as the mind has to be, the pain, but at some point, if your body's saying, hey, bitch, you've been beating the fuck out of me. maybe today I do need to take a light day. It's okay to listen to your body. Say, hey, chill out for a second.
You know, that is a very true point, but it also... I have gone, it might be, a whole lot of people are not going to agree with me. I've gone into the gym to train, and I did a particular exercise, and that motherfucker felt fantastic. I'm like, oh my God, every fucking curl felt fantastic. And you know what I did for that fucking hour and a half or 2 hours that I was in? I fucking curled. I didn't do another fucking exercise. I did the same fucking exercise for an hour and a half because my body kept telling me, damn, this shit feel good. And people, I mean, nobody, I don't know anybody else who's that ignorant, but that worked for me.
Hey, before we go on to the next one, a lot of times when I'm doing my podcast, CT, over in the MDR, man, I got sirens and helicopters and fire trucks going by. There's a motherfucker just drove by here with a loud-ass exhaust. I'm trying to make a goddamn award-winning podcast, so it don't matter where. I got a metal door back here rattling. I got a dude filming. I told him I ain't even ready to be on camera because I got a bad rotator cuff. I ain't looking like C.T. Fletcher. I'm about to take that camera and throw that motherfucker across the room and put my foot up somebody's ass, but... I want to get this shit out of here. I'm trying to win a goddamn award for this podcast, and motherfuckers driving by out here pissing me off. CT, I thought you run a tight ship over here. What the fuck?
Hey, look, I closed the fucking gym.
No,
yes.
I'm just kidding you.
I closed the fucking gym down for Stone Cold. You know you don't see no bunch. Look around.
That's
here.
Me. That's
a fucking ghost town up in here.
CT.
And Stone Cold threatened my cameraman. our nickname for him is Crazy Drew. So crazy ass Drew, and when he Stone Cold just threatened you, motherfucker, he got a close up. Stone Cold Steve Austin threatened you. That's why we call him Crazy Ass Drew. When Stone Cold threatened your ass, you don't get no goddamn close up. You step back.
CT, but we're trying to get these motherfuckers to get in shape, and so one of your keys is you say don't let your body adapt. What do you mean by that?
Constantly change shit up. Just constantly change shit up. Don't do the same fucking thing all the time, you ignorant motherfucker.
Now, when you're training somebody, and just like you said a while ago, is it, man, if you don't train hard, you might take your punk ass home.
Yeah.
But so you tell a motherfucker that, right?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. I mean, you know, Steve, I feel like this. If I can fucking die three times and have my chest split open, got a fucking metal valve in me, and I just have a very low tolerance for pussies and whining and shit. I just can't fucking stand your fucking ass. So it's just, you know, I'd rather see him going home or get another trainer.
I am going to borrow that, a very low tolerance for pussies. I'm going to borrow that, and when I say it, be it known that it came from C.T. Fletcher. If I'm going to steal somebody's shit or borrow it, I'm going to let you know where it come
there
from.
You go.
I will use that. Multiple angles are essential to growth. Like one, like you said, sometimes if a curl's feeling good to you, hey, man, you're going to stick with that curl. Well, but, motherfucker, what you're saying is you can't just hit that motherfucker from the same shit all the time. You got to fucking hit it with some different angles.
Thank you. That's right. Exactly. See, you explain. I don't need to explain. You explained the fuck out of it. That was perfect.
Well, hell, I'll move right along and shit. Fuck if I nail something, I'm running with it. Yeah, man, but just hit your muscles from different angles. But, you know, at the end of the day, though, CT, your favorite movements are your favorite movements.
Yeah.
And, your bread and butter shit like
go-to.
A bench press, an incline, a standing military, or just a preacher curl, whatever the fuck it is.
Yeah.
You know, your go-to movements, because I got mine.
Yeah.
Because to a point, for me, dude, I ain't blessed with the greatest genetics in the world. I got what I got. So I can hit it from all kinds of angles, but I know for me, yeah, angles, but also, you know, it ain't like I'm not going to get a Schwarzenegger peak by doing preacher curls and concentration curls just because I don't have those genetics. That being said, hitting it with angles will maximize my potential.
Exactly. And let me say something. Stone Cold coming in, he's talking about how out of shape he is, and how he feels. We are athletes that have been at one time on a super high level, like Stone Cold, like myself. If there's any chink in our armor, we'll put that motherfucker up on a pedestal. And it just, but this motherfucker step in the ring tonight. He don't let him fucking fool you, Stone Cold. I know how old he is. I ain't gonna tell you how old he is, but I know how old he fucking damn sure don't look like it. Me and Stone Cold whoop all y'all ass.
CT, what do you mean when you say learn the meaning of overload?
Oh, yes. A lot of people, think they know. There's so many fucking scientists and goddamn smart motherfuckers out there. See, they know the fucking mean. Overtraining and overload and all this goddamn shit. The meaning of overload, to me, you know, you put a little bit more on there than your max or near your max is. You're able to add a little bit to that. And train safely with it, and you might do, we used to do overloads or floor presses, a lot of different exercises they don't even fucking do no more. You know, I'm an old motherfucker, we used to do wave, and they tell me now that we don't do these times. I said, we had an exercise with I call them agony press, where you start in the front, press over your head, and then go back to the front. That's fucking one rep. That's one rep. Oh, I put that shit on my Instagram. Oh, so many young kids. Oh, no, you hurt yourself. You can't do that. Oh, my God, Steve. I just wanted to go out and get a whole bunch of Tampax and hand it to these motherfuckers so they could fucking shove it up in their whining ass pussy mouth. And fuck, we can't do that. We're going to hurt us. All Arnold Schwarzenegger, Franco, all of them, they did the shit. Behind the neck press was a stand. Every fucking body was doing it back when I was coming up. But now, all of a sudden some scientists discovered, they probably ain't ever fucking worked out a day in his life, but the shit is, oh no, that's the wrong angle. That's going to hurt you. Little switching ass motherfucker.
But that almost ties back into letting someone else's limitations apply to you.
Yeah.
You say, fuck if it ain't, I don't feel like it's... I'm falling under that restriction, so
right. You
do what works for you.
I've been doing this shit for 30 years, and fuck y'all.
Hey, fuck y'all. Hey, number 9, talk to me about become obsessed. What the fuck do you mean?
You know exactly what I mean. You can probably explain it better than I am, but to be...
Yeah, but I'm interviewing you,
yes,
so you break
yes,
it down.
Yes, okay. Well, you know, to be the best at any goddamn thing, I don't care if you fucking... flip pancakes, wash windows, cut grass, whatever the fuck it is, if you want to be the very best at it, the best of the best, you're going to have to be obsessed with that shit. That means when you lay down at night, you're going to be dreaming about flipping fucking pancakes. You're going to be dreaming about edging the goddamn yard and washing them fucking windows. That's obsessed. When you ain't doing it, you're thinking about doing it. And if you want to be the very best at it, any fucking thing. Stone Cold Steve Austin, you was fucking champion of the whole goddamn world. You had to be obsessed with that shit.
I did get obsessed there for a while. Originally I got into business just to be a pro wrestler, but then, yeah, the obsession of trying to be successful, wanting
fuck
to be
yeah.
successful, and you get that first belt, it's like, if you ain't, dude, yeah, if you don't have your eye on having that belt or being as best you can in whatever you pursue, you know, and not everybody's wired that way.
Yeah.
But like you just said, if you want to do something at the highest level, and you don't become half-ass obsessed with it or full bore, if you don't give a fuck, unless you just got those grade A fucking genetics and you can just kind of coast by and achieve greatness, but that don't happen for most people, because if you don't apply yourself, dude, you can have a guy with less genetics beat you because he is obsessed.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
That's a crime.
It happens.
Yeah,
it happens in every fucking sport.
Last one on your Ten Commandments, never become satisfied.
Mm. That's also one that I know that you can expound on. Satisfaction is the end of progress. If you become satisfied, I guarantee you that you will no longer make any type of progress. I look good enough. You look in the fucking mirror, I look perfect. I'm perfect. I don't see a flaw. I don't have room for any improvement. Motherfucker, you done. You done. And you know what else? It ain't true, motherfucker. Your sister and mama might have told you that shit, but it ain't true. Yeah. You might have thought in your mind's eye, I look perfect and I'm without fault. Unless you are and you ain't, trust me. Then that's the only time that you can stop. You know, okay, once you're absolute perfection, then you can quit. And I don't know a motherfucker on the face of the earth that fits that.
Then all of a sudden you start resting on your laurels and it comes that hungry cat that is obsessed and he ain't satisfied, he's going to pass your ass up.
Exactly. You won't last long once you become perfect.
Hey, one of the things I want to talk to you about, because you got a gentleman here in the gym today, I believe he's 24 years old.
Yes.
Built like a brick house.
Iron Gibby.
So tell me, this man, he's a strong man, he's a power lifter, but he come here to train with you and he's going to enter a strict curl competition, of which... Do you still hold the world record, or you had the record? It was 225 pounds, strict curl. Explain the process, because it's back up against the wall.
Exactly. It's not just the curl, it's the strict curl. And I have my own association now called the ISCA, International Strict Curl Association. It's my shit, because I'm bringing strict curling back. And
So fuck Guinness. It ain't no Guinness Book of World Records. It's a C.T. Fletcher record.
You're goddamn right. It stood for 25 years. And I set the record because I wanted to show off on my girlfriend. At the time, my girlfriend was this little girl's mama. And I just wanted to show off for her. And I got in there. I said, baby, it's a curl contest this weekend. I want you to come down and check me out. So I went down there, and I didn't take it that seriously. And but I wanted to you know, get the trophy, give it to her, and show her what a badass I was. So I went down there and set the record. And I didn't want to strain. I didn't want to see me all ugly in the face and frowning and shit. So I went as high as I could do it without straining. So I just went 225. I had no idea that it was gonna last that many years. I thought somebody would break it the next day. I didn't give a fuck, because at that time my girlfriend was there, and at that moment I was champion of the fucking world. So it didn't matter after that, fuck it, I'm the champ, you know. It lasted. And Iron Bibby, West African Superman, this weekend, IAG Las Vegas, Iron Bibby will smash the fuck out of it. He's gonna open up with 225 pounds.
So how many other people in the competition?
I have no idea. We won't know that until, I get there and look at the sign-up sheet, and then I'll know how many people are there. But I already know who's going to win this shit.
Okay, so back in your powerlifting days, and still keeping the strict curl competition, you know, in our minds, were you a powerlifter that was all percentage-based back when you was training for a powerlifting meet? Because, I mean, I'm not guessing you're using... Or are you using his science, heavy fives, threes, and singles to train this young man? Or what was your method for training to set the curl record? Because, I mean, I'm going back to your penitentiary-style training.
Right.
That's your body, and you're just in there banging. You're getting a lot of blood moving. So what's the difference between doing that and training for a single max on a strict curl?
Okay. Oh, good goddamn questions.
Check out the brain on this big ball motherfucker. I'm thinking, I'm over here sweating so much, I'm trying to think of good questions for CT. Goddamn cameraman is getting my out of shape ass. Goddamn this motherfucker, CT. Talk to me. How you train this cat?
Okay. for bench press, I trained like a normal power lifter. I trained like a normal power lifter, except in the assistance exercises. As a lot of the stuff you see me do now was what I used for my assistance exercise back then. All them fucking reps. The gauntlet was invented way back then. And I used that to help my tricep strength for my bench press. But on curling, I mean, that was my thing. I walked in the gym and didn't do shit else but curl for a year and a half. I mean, that's why I was, when they came out and they said, we got a curl contest, I said, shit. That was made for me, yeah. You know, because that was my thing. I didn't train anything special for it or anything. I competed maybe three times and won the world title. And each time I did it, I got a little better at it. Because the only thing I had to get used to was the wall. In strict curling, there's a wall. You have to have your ass, your back, and your head up against the wall, which makes it a fucking lot harder than just standing, freestanding without that wall. That wall.
And with that rock and the swing and shit.
With no rock, because it's no rock. It's completely all arms.
Tell me about it. Is this one, two, or three judges? I mean, but they got a judge. Okay.
Yes, three judges, one on each side and one in front that'll give you the lift and down command. The head judge are the one in front to do that. And two on each side to watch your ass, your back, and your head. Make sure neither one loses contact with that wall. If anyone loses contact with the wall, then it's no good. They had, I seen a lot of guys say, oh, I didn't, and that strict curl contest, but there wasn't no fucking wall. If there wasn't no wall, it ain't no fucking strict curl contest.
Right. Hey, let's shift gears a little bit. Right now, you're in fantastic shape. You're always in fantastic shape, but you look like you dropped a couple of percent. And when I say drop weight, I mean fat weight. I mean, you still got the same muscles. A lot of people, if I start dieting down, I'll go down to South Texas, and one of my buddies said, God damn, man, you got skinny. And you know CT is like a bodybuilder or a person who lifts weights or a power lifter.
Woo.
Motherfucker, because you don't lift weights, it ain't called skinny, it's called lean.
Oh, my.
Because skinny gets your ass whipped.
Oh,
that's a motherfucking insult. I didn't get skinny, bitch. Oh, I lost body fat. Yeah. Big fucking difference.
Definitely. You treading on thin ice when you call the motherfucker a skinny that's working his ass off every day to
boy,
do
you know,
he can.
Like, you smoke, just start bowling out underneath my fucking baseball cap like motherfucking shit.
Skinny.
So anyway, you leaned up, but you started doing some boxing.
Yeah.
Dude, I took a boxing class the other day because there's one right there by my house. And, dude, man, my anterior delts will be on fire just for holding my stupid-ass hands up. And the dude told me, goes, you want me to train you like an actor or you want me to train like an athlete? Of course, what I'm going to say.
Yeah,
I'm going to train me like an athlete.
Yeah.
So every time I drop my hand, that motherfucker pop me in the side of the head. And when you got a motherfucker trying to teach you how to box and you drop your hands, and when he starts popping in the side of the head, you keep your hands up.
Yeah, you're going to keep them up.
So what possessed you to want to start getting into boxing?
Man, I've always said it, and I'll reiterate it, that boxing is my all-time favorite sport. It is my all-time favorite sport. It has been since, you know, I could walk. And I always loved it. I went back. I've been in and out of boxing gyms. Shout out to Hill Street Boxing right across the way from Hill Street Boxing in George over there. Get motherfuckers. Anyway, I got this call from Goldberg about the movie, and he said we're going to do a fight scene. And I don't want to look like a 57-year-old goddamn Social Security recipient has been washed up motherfucker. So I said, I had the bright idea that I would take my ass over to Hill Street Boxing and you know, get in a little shape, you know, two, three rounds. You know, I ain't trying, no, I ain't going to, you know, do nothing seriously. I just want to be able to, you know, motherfucker say, hey, that old motherfucker moved pretty good. That's all I want. That's all I want. And goddamn, you say you... It hurt me more to hit that fucking pad than, you know, I wouldn't, if I was to hit somebody, it probably would fucking hurt me a lot worse than it would hurt them. After the first round, I'm like, what the fuck did I get myself into? Oh, my God, I need to take my old ass somewhere and sit the fuck down.
So how'd the lessons go, or how are they going? Are you picking it up?
They're definitely still going because I'm too fucking ignorant to quit. I'm an ignorant old motherfucker.
How long you been at it now?
This will be the third week. Just three weeks.
Well, see, it's fun, man, because, I mean, I got off on hitting the pads, but then the dude would just tell me, he goes, man, you go don't try to kill the pads.
Yeah. Right. Just touch it.
Yeah, just touch it. Pop, pop. Yeah, and then he starts calling out the combinations of the numbers, and I'm like, fucking, I'm throwing shit like, man, I'm hitting the wrong fucking glove. Yeah. I think now I got to be a rocket scientist and learn how to fucking throw hands.
Just say it. Just one, say two, it, motherfucker. You fucking me up with them numbers.
Now, here's a question. If you have this fight scene, here's the thing that always got me, because when I had this little chump change part in the Expendables a long time ago, I was in a fight camp, and we was down there in New Orleans, and we was in this warehouse for 3 weeks. Man, I'm in there sweating my motherfucking ass out, learning to fight, right? And so I'm fighting with Sly, and he's a cool dude.
Right.
So I'm number 32 on the call sheet. He's number one. And so he's directing it. He wrote it. He's starring in it. So he saw the fight that they put together, and they filmed it themselves. You know, the fight guy's going through it so Sly could look at it.
Right.
So Sly gave it a thumbs up. Well, I'm in there learning that motherfucker like Einstein E=MC². When we went down in that dungeon, wherever we was fighting in an old bunker down in New Orleans, I knew the fight. Man, here's the thing. Sly approved the fight, but he didn't know the fight because he's directing and starring all that bullshit.
He ain't had the time to
rehearse it like I did.
Right.
So, dude, man, first thing that happens is we butt heads. And I put a gash in his head. He took two stitches to close it up.
Dang.
And here's the thing, CT. I know the fight. But when number one and number 32 butt heads in a fight, it's number 32's fault.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
So
anyway, we got through the fight. But my point is, to come back to you, is fighting for camera is a pain in the ass for me, because like in the business of pro wrestling, it really is a lot like dance.
Right.
Because, I mean, you're throwing shit in there, you're pulling, but it's a work of art. And you're used to it, and it's what I did. Now, when you fight for camera to make everything look like it connects, you know, it's all about the angles
right.
and where they position the cameras. And so you don't really even, I mean, you touch body shots and stuff like that, but fight for camera is a pain in the ass. Have you ever fought for camera?
Yeah, I did another real low budget movie. Well, damn, I don't want to say that. I don't know what the fucking budget was, but I know my pay was fucking low as fuck. So I figured it had to be a low budget movie. It was the first time, and Goldberg got me that part also. And I think it's called Enter the Fist or some shit. Like, it's a comedy.
Yeah, yeah.
And I had a fight scene in there with a young guy, and it's you're right. It's a lot different, and you know, I guess that'll help me with this one. But we're fighting in the back of I can't say that. But anyway, it's a confined area that we're fighting in. So I don't have to move around too much, thank goodness.
But the thing about it is, you know, a lot of people that come up with, they got a taekwondo background, karate background, or, you know, person, what they do, they call them those little routines they call.
Katas.
What do you call it?
Yeah, a kata.
Check out the brain on CT. But they already got a move set or like a boxer. I mean, you know, like when you see them warming up, or the MMA guys, you know, they. Dude, if you got a routine or you got a kata, whatever you call it, you can halfway implement that shit, because if you can remember that, then you can duplicate what a fight scene is. Dude, coming from where I come from, I had a big right hand from pro wrestling and a stunner, which ain't gonna apply to no fucking movie. So, you know, it was really having to learn to fight for camera for me. And then because of my wrestling background, and dude, my footwork is just shits. So, you know, like when you're fighting for camera, everything's got to be technical. So, man, I'd tell those motherfuckers in Vancouver, I said, dude, you want to shoot me high, shoot me close, waist up. We don't need to see my feet work.
Right.
Because you're going to kill a fight scene. So there's an art to it.
I tell you what, Condemned. You remember that?
CT, let's just pause just for a second here.
Or my fucking favorite.
Goddamn
movie.
Tear rolling down my damn cheek right now. You remember that commercial where that Indian was watching and a person littered and a tear come down his face? I should have won a goddamn award for that movie. How I got fuck,
you
I don't know who beat me
right.
for an Oscar. Best performance,
right
best goddamn
there,
motherfucking movie. Shit. Anyway, the Condemned. Those were some good fight scenes in there.
Oh, fuck yeah, it was good fight scenes. And you stole every one of them motherfuckers. Every one of them motherfuckers looked believable. Your fucking acting was outstanding.
I wouldn't go that far. But I will say, here's something that nobody knows. When those bombs blew up, those were real bombs.
Damn.
Those people actually, I'm kidding. What's the dude's name?
Drew.
Drew look at me like I'm crazy as a motherfucker. Drew thought, man, motherfucker serious.
Yeah.
That's the Bill, did you see acting right there?
Yeah.
I'm going to have to call Bill. I said, Bill, you might want to put me in that motherfucking movie when you're doing CT.
Let's do it. Let's get stone cold in there.
So you going to continue with the boxing lessons or what?
Oh, yeah. I'm going to definitely continue with them because, you know, besides the movie, they're a fantastic boxing and fantastic cardiovascular. And it's fucking my fucking heart about twice as big as a normal heart anyway.
I was going to ask you about that because back in the day, and we talked about this last time, but you was eating the shit out of McDonald's.
Oh, yeah.
You was eating the shit out of it. So then you had open heart surgery, but you died three times. So we told that story, but I mean, like, how's your heart hold up now? Does your heart doctor say, hey, dude, because, you know, like, you can take 220 minus your age, and then there's your maximum heart rate, and then you can get a percentage to do cardio if you were so inclined to do so. Does your heart guy say, hey, CT, with respect to this, you should be cool or don't do this?
I don't listen to that motherfucker, Stone Cold.
Okay, now listen. You can talk about these Ten Commandments to getting big, but you got to listen to that MD when he's talking about your heart, don't you? Or you just don't give a fuck?
I do not give a square-rooted fuck, Stone Cold, because if I listened to that motherfucker, I would stay at home. I'd be at home all the fucking time. They told me I would never lift weights again. Never. You a motherfucking lie. That's where that fucking wheel comes in. And I go in there and I see him now. I talk to the doctor who did my operation. Hey, you look fantastic. So, you know, it's very good to see you back. I never expected to see you, you know, up and around, walking around and stuff. Cause I had a fucking rough recovery. But, you know, I hate to go. I hate to even go to the doctor because they fucking always got some bad news for you. I don't want to know. I just want to walk around and drop dead one fucking day. Oop.
What are you doing for your training to get ready for this part? I mean, anything? Because I mean, you look great. So.
Well, we doing the fucking boxing. That's the new twist. This is the first time in 10 years I've been inside a boxing ring. We're doing the boxing and all the repetitions and all, you know, doing just a little bit more of everything. And I have a secret weapon that I ain't telling about. Not too much. You're gonna hear. I'm break the news right here on Stone Cold's Nationwide goddamn podcast that I'm coming up with my own Iron Addicts brand supplements. I'm coming out with my own supplement. I'm testing them right now, my motherfucking self, because I won't ask nobody else to buy this shit unless I try it on myself first and shit work. If it don't work, I ain't gonna ask somebody else to take it. I just won't do that. So I've been taking my shit.
And let me make a correction, if I may be so bold. This motherfucker worldwide, CT, nationwide. We not confined in the United States of America, motherfucker. We around the goddamn globe. Shit.
Well, I can't get shit right. World fucking wide. Excuse me, goddamn. What's wrong? What the fuck wrong with me?
That's all right. It's your gym. It don't make a shit. Hey, have you done anything with the diet? You're blessed genetically. I just carry a drum around. That's why I'm trying to tell Drew to fucking ease up on the camera there. Give me that cigar shot from down low, okay? God damn it. Work with me here, CT. Can we bring in some professional lighters? What are you doing with the diet? You're backing off the carbs. You just plowing straight forward. Or are you just going to go rolling like you do? You V-frame anyway.
I have for the first time, I have a diet coach and food. My daughter, my oldest daughter was doing my food prep, and I have a food prep coach. And they both keep me on track, you know, even when I, because when you travel, you know, I eat whatever the fuck they had available because I was hungry. But now I take my food with me wherever. First time, you know, ever, because I really, you know, I really taken this getting in shape. Seriously, thing is, you know, it's so many of the fans. I don't have any fans, but Iron Addicts out there, they like to talk shit. It's all CT. Last video, old man looking kind of slow and old now. And I don't know, maybe you need to just, you know, go sit down somewhere. Fuck y'all. I'll sit down when I get good and goddamn ready. See, I ain't ready yet, motherfucker. I'm going to show you what the fuck I can do. Just sit your punk ass down and watch me do this shit.
All right, CT, before I wrap this thing up and head back to the MDR, is there any shout-outs, anything you want to plug? Because on Twitter, you're CT Fletcher, or is it CT Fletcher, it's your set motherfucker? Still, what is it?
ISYMFS.
What is it?
CT Fletcher at
ISYMFS.
Or CT Fletcher ISYMFS.
You heard him. I can't promote. CT Fletcher,
ISYMFS, which stands for Esteemed Motherfucking Set. ISYMFS.
Okay, and your website is?
CTFletcher.com. Go there. And yeah, I got a fucking shout out to somebody I want to shout out. Stone Cold Steve Austin. Goldberg. Two of the baddest motherfuckers ever step inside the square. Rock, where is your punk ass at? Bring your big calfed motherfucking ass on over to the Valley of the Beast. Sit your punk ass down and let's do a fucking promo together. And even better, let's work out together, motherfucker. The old man still got something for you. Rock, I'm looking for you.
You may smell what he's cooking. CT, it's good talking to you.
Stone Cold, as always, a pleasure and an honor. I mean, I'm so honored to have Stone Cold call me. I'm on the phone and call me a bald head motherfucker. I don't know what to do. Tickle pink, goddamn.
All right, CT Fletcher, Steve Austin at the Iron Addicts Gym, baddest gym at LBC. You want to get your fat ass, sorry ass, low ass in shape? Come on down and sign up. CT Fletcher got something for your ass. All right, everybody, give me the go-home cue. It's time to wrap up this podcast and ride off in the sunset. But before I do, I want to say thank you to CT Fletcher for sitting down and talking with me for an hour of his time out there in Long Beach at Iron Addicts Gym. If you're local down in LBC, that's a badass gym with a badass atmosphere. And if you got CT Fletcher in there looming large and in charge and motivating people, I don't think you can find a better place to train. Thank you, CT. Before I give you guys all the rest of the plugs, I got to give you something to watch. I'm actually going to give you an entire YouTube channel. Check it out. It's on YouTube. It's CT Fletcher's Motivation, and he's got the trailer to his upcoming movie on there. The movie's called CT Fletcher, My Magnificent Obsession. It's CT's life story, and it's coming out worldwide on September 18th. But you can see some behind-the-scenes footage and trailer already on YouTube. He's also got all kinds of videos out there to help you with your weight training and your fitness programs. A lot of 411 and tips. CT Fletcher is a bad motherfucker. So check it out. CT Fletcher Motivation on YouTube. All right. Let me get a couple more plugs in while we doing plugs. Plug 316 said, I just tried to plug something on this motherfucking podcast. You can find all my badass Broken Skull t-shirts at BrokenSkullRanch.com. You can find a link to order Broken Skull IPA from El Segundo Brewing Company on BrokenSkullRanch.com. And in California, you can find Steve Austin's Broken Skull IPA at Whole Foods and Total Wine. And lest I forget, the baddest fucking knife in the United States of America, the Steve Austin Cold Steel Broken Skull Knife. They make badass knives anytime, anywhere. You can find that motherfucking knife on BrokenSkullRanch.com. I think the cheapest place you can find it is on Amazon. I'll get to Amazon in a minute. But everything Steve Austin, you can find at BrokenSkullRanch.com. Hershey, stop scratching on the door. I'm trying to do the go-home here. Gang, I appreciate y'all supporting the sponsors of the goddamn it. Hang on. Goddamn Hershey, she was scratching on the sliding door. I got this thing closed up. It ain't soundproof. I'm not in a sound booth. I'm sitting here in my damn office with a damn Pearl Beer neon clock, secondhand spinning around like a rotisserie chicken. Hershey's scratching at the door. She won't go away. She's got to be in here with her dad. God damn it, she's sitting there licking on this scab on my right knee where I fell down moving my damn Kawasaki mule out the Broken Skull Challenge compound. Hershey, I appreciate all the medical help. If I needed help, I'd go to an urgent care. Your tongue feels like sandpaper. Anyway, back to the plugs. Everything's Steve Austin. You can find it at BrokenSkullRanch.com. Gang, I appreciate y'all supporting the sponsors of the Steve Austin podcast because they're the ones that let me do this for you free twice a week. I think my sponsors are cool as shit. So thanks to DDPYoga.com. Go to DDPYoga.com/Austin to get 20% off anything you purchase for a limited time, including the new collector's edition of the Resurrection of Jake the Snake documentary. I want to give a big shout out to TrueCar and, of course, to Amazon, who've been supporting this podcast since day one. You can find that Broken Skull cold steel pocket knife on Amazon. They got the cheapest prices. Ship it right to your damn door. Use my links, because if you use my links, it'll help out the podcast in the process. Anytime you're doing any online shopping, if you use my Amazon links, they'll kick back a couple of bucks to the podcast and help us pay our production costs, and it don't cost you nothing extra. There ain't no hidden fees or charges. You can buy whatever you plan on buying and help out the podcast in the process. Goddamn, that's a win-win. You get what you want at a great price delivered to your house, and it helps us pay our production costs over at Podcast One. Fuck, I like it. Anyway, you can find my Amazon links by going to podcastone.com, clicking on the killer deals button in the top right corner of the page, and then hitting the Steve Austin Show button. For Christ's sake, I got Amazon links for Amazon USA, Amazon UK, and Amazon Canada. So, one more time, in case you missed it the first time, just go to podcastone.com, click the killer deals button in the top right corner, then click on the Steve Austin Show. All of my great sponsors are there. All of my Amazon links are there, too. And Amazon will kick back a couple of bucks to the show every time you use one of those links. If you bookmark it, that means you can go to it in one step and not go through that whole rigmarole that I just told you about. Hey, man, keep listening, folks. The 60-second AP News headlines are coming up next. Until the next time, folks, my name is Steve Austin, and I will catch your ass down the road. Out.
Download new episodes of Steve Austin Unleashed every Thursday at podcastone.com. That's podcastone.com.